Well, look, you know, in today's world, that we live with terrorism, we deal with attacks that come out of the blue, there's an attempt to make some kind of profile. And by building a profile of a potential risk and potential individual that fits into that risk, it's much easier to pin down the terrorism and to be able to fight it. I don't believe anybody is able to identify the character traits and the perception of who we're talking about in this week's parasha to be able to build to predict that this person is going to do such a terrible thing. There's a certain individual, and his name was not discussed in this week's parasha, but there's a certain person, and his name was Cosby Bas Tzur. Sorry. His name was Zimri ben Soli. Zimri ben Soli, according to many Mefarshim, is one of the Nesiim. According to Beichanan, his Shlumiel ben Tzuri Shaddai, that's brought down as one of the Nesiim. He's dealing here with an incredible tzaddik, one of the Nesiim. Not only that, the Marshal brings down, according to most Mefarshim in the Gemara, it comes out that this individual was over 250 years old. See how the Gemara works without Gemara and Sanhedrin. He was over 250 years old. He was one of the Nesiim in the times of Klal Yisrael. I mean, we cannot imagine his greatness. And this individual, from one day to the next, turns into an incredibly crazy man. I mean, he's talking about taking a shiksa, takes a Cosby Bas Tzur, as it seems, we'll get to that soon, right? And goes and he does a chet. Now, he doesn't just do a chet in private, he does a chet le'ene kol Yisrael, in front of all Klal Yisrael. And le'ene Moshe, in front of the God Lador. Where does he do it? He comes along and he makes his whole shtick in front of Pesach Oil Moed. So he's going in front of the Oil Moed where the Shechina is, in front of Moshe, in front of Klal Yisrael, the Shlumiel ben Tzuri Shaddai, the Nosi of Shevet Shimon. What on earth came over him? How do we understand this? What happened to him? So there is one very interesting mahalach, and that is that he wasn't holding where he was holding, and it was an explosion. It's like basically standing in line where the guards, you know, the British guards are standing in line with you know, they've got to polish their shoes and they've got to comb their hat, and he just gets too much for one. Eventually, just takes a whole pail of dirty water and flings it in the face of the Queen as she passes by. Just too much for him, right? So that's one mahalach, which is a very interesting mahalach. I'm not going to that mahalach, but there's one very, very fascinating approach from Rav Neventhal, Zayin Gesund. And he says a very, very beautiful approach. And he says we've got to see it in context, exactly what was going on. And Rashi discusses it. What's clear is that he did not take a shiksa. He did not take this woman, because otherwise his whole explanation of what he did and why he did it was completely misunderstood. Let's understand this carefully. Rashi brings down that there was a crisis. The crisis was that Klal Yisrael were being shechted. They were being slaughtered by their shoftim. The pasuk brings down Vayomer Moshe for Perek Chof Hei Pasuk Hei Vayomer Moshe al Shoftei Yisrael Hirgu Ish Anoshov Hanitzmodin Abal Po'er. That a man Hirgu Ish, one man Anoshov, his men Hanitzmodin Abal Po'er, who attached Abal Po'er. So a man, his men, according to many of the Mefarshim, we're dealing here with each man killed two men. Okay, now according to that, the calculation works out that if you count how many sorei asoreis, sorei chamishim, and sorei meis there were, all the sorim, according to the many mefarshim, each one of those men killed two men, which means that there were 160,000 men that were being killed by people who are doing a chet of the chet of being baal po'er. And the chet of being mezana, doing znus with the Bnei Smoyov. 160,000, which means almost more than a quarter of all the men between the ages of 20 to 60. And they came along to Shevet Shimon. Shevet Shimon came along to Cosby and says, to Zimri. And she says to Zimri, Rashi says over here, Posik Vav, Niskabsu Shivtoi Shoshimon Eitzel Zimri. They came along as a whole kibbutza. Shehoya nasi shalahem. He was their nasi. Va'omruloi, and they said to him, "Anu nidoinim b'misa. Here we are being judged to be killed. Va'ato yoshev, and you're sitting there. Could the Isa Ba'ilahin and Srafin like it's brought down in the Gemara Sanhedrin? In other words, here we're dealing here with people who are complaining, who are terrorized that they're going to be killed. Why were they going to be killed? Because they did an Aveira. So they knew, or they wanted to do an Aveira, right? So they brought along their tine and they came along and complained to Zimri, save us. What did Zimri do? So Zimri took a Midianis. He took a Midianis. Who is she? Cosby Bastor, this princess. Le'ene Moshe, in front of Moshe. What did he do in front of Moshe? Omroloi Moshe. He said to Moshe, Zu asura o imuteres. Is this woman muta or asa? Im toima asura. If you say she's asa, bas Yisroi mihi tiraloch. Who allowed you to marry the daughter of Yisroi? So he came along, and he, as it were, was the one to represent the lower class. He is going to represent those people who want to do a chet, and he's going to stand there and say, it's not right for these people to be killed. You, Moshe Rabbeinu, yourself, took a Midianis. It is completely mufrach me'ilav. It doesn't start, because first of all, it's before Matan Torah. Okay, number one. Number two, the Mefarshim explain that it must be that this Midianis that he took, he did geirus with her. Otherwise, he can't compare. You can't say, Moshe, you took a Midianis, yes, but she's Jewish. Right? And you took a Midianis, what? Gezeirah Shovah Midian Midian. It must be that she was Jewish. Must be that he did geirus to her, in inverted commas, and he did geirus to her, and brought him in front of Moshe and said, Moshe Beinu Muta Asa. Moshe Beinu was dumbfounded, literally. And the Bochu, they were all crying until Pinchas came along, and as a Magefa, 24,000 people died, and Pinchas did what he did, that's next week's parasha. So what was going on over here? Here we have somebody who's at least 250 years old, a tzaddik who is a Nasi of Klal Yisrael, and he gets pushed, manipulated by his shevet to make a stand. So let's just understand him and under his shevet. So he's got covered. His covered is at bay now. He can really make a big move. He can get covered by, he's going to, his whole shevet comes to him, save us, he could be the hero of the moment. And his covered, again, not going into that too much, but the covered of this man was so strong that he's able to undermine his whole life's work for the sake of the moment. It's a famous story brought down over here in if you want to look it up yourself, in Mishulchan Gavoya. There was a, Reb Leib Chassman was a Mashgiach of Yeshivas Chevron, and there was a whole Asifa once, there was a whole gathering, and one man stood up and he said, I'm 70 years old. And you can be assured, I can assure you, that what I say now is not for my own covered, because I don't have any covered anymore. I'm doing it for the sake of Klal Yisrael. Reb Leib Chassman slammed his hand on the table, and he said, Shakran. He says, when we get older, like in anything, the senses, some senses get weaker, then other senses get stronger. Like a blind man sometimes can hear very, very well, or a deaf man can see very well. He says, if the certain senses of yours gets weaker, must be that other senses of yours get stronger. Which means that other tithers may not be as strong, covered gets much stronger. Don't believe for one second just because he's 70 years old, they don't have a tithe of covered. It got much stronger. This man is willing to give up 250 years because there's covered over here. There's covered together with Gaiva. He says, Moshe Rabbeinu, with all due respect, you are from the third shevet, I'm from the second. If anyone should be the leader, I should be the leader. There's an enormous amount of taiva going on, look in the Gemara Sanhedrin. There's an enormous amount of kanaos, Shevet Shimon, at the age of 13, slaughters Shechem. So here we're dealing here with a feisty Shevet, coaxing and encouraging this Nossi of the Shevet to stand up and to save them. And he does it, L'Shem Shemayim. He does it and he wants to save his doyer. He wants to put a hechshash. He wants to say what these people are doing are not halachically wrong. I did geirus to her and she's okay. Why can't they do it? The whole thing was a very, very strange thing. Maybe they also did all geirus. What was wrong with the geirus? You can't do geirus in that situation. You can't do geirus if there's ulterior motive just for the sake of marriage. Geirus doesn't work. But he wasn't willing to listen. So let's understand this. Here we have people, Shevet Shimon, who are encouraging their rabbi, the Nasi, to do something which is incredibly wrong for the sake that they could do something right. Doesn't make sense. If they really want to do the right thing, go and ask Moshe Rabbeinu. Hold yourself back. Don't be with his Midyanim. If you don't want to do the right thing, then do without Moshe Rabbeinu. Why get a Heksha on it? Why go along to Cosby and get your Nasi to stand up and give his Heksha on it? What's the problem? Just do without Cosby. Not Cosby, without Zimri. So Manushuk, again, if they're interested in doing the right thing, go and ask Moshe Rabbeinu, hold yourself back, it's clear it was wrong to do. Don't get involved. Don't do this nus with these women. And if it is, if they're not looking, at, and if you're looking to the wrong thing, why get Zimri involved to give the Heksha? Says Rav Nevensal, and this is a very, very astute point. He said there are certain people who are not willing to go against Halacha, not willing to follow Halacha either. There are certain people who are willing to get a Heksha on things that are treif. There are people who are willing to go and find any person who is classed a rabbi and to get his opinion on things that are very, very, very serious. And that was Bnei Shimon. Bnei Shimon did not want to go to Moshe Rabbeinu because Moshe Rabbeinu is, he's extremist. Yeah, Moshe Rabbeinu, what does he understand about halacha? Yeah, he's an extremist, he's a levinik. We can't do something wrong with ourselves because, you know, we need rabbinical supervision. It's like this famous joke they make. That this guy went into a shop and is eating a cheeseburger, and a person couldn't believe it. So, and he's the president of the community, and there he is, a cheeseburger, and he's putting on some more extra cheese, and he's having a bit of a yai nesach on the side. So at the end, the rabbi stands outside and says to him, "You know, Mr. Cohen, how could you do that?" He said, "You saw me doing this? Yes. You saw me actually eating the stuff? Yes. Oh, thank God, at least under rabbinical supervision." Right? Some people are willing to eat chaza under rabbinical supervision. Which means that the problem is often that people are looking for a way out. I know we used to have in yeshiva, boys who used to come along and they used to wanted to come to Eretz Yisrael. How many days would keep? 1 day or 2 days? How many days yontuv do you keep? 1 day or 2 days? Yeah? So at the lunch table used to be, if you phone this and this robot, he'll tell you 1 day. If you tell this and this robot, tell 2 days. I say you should have an automated answering machine. For 2 days, you're on to. For 1 day, press 1. For 2 days, press 2. For 1.5 days, press 3. This is not the way you ask your shayla. If a person had, Rahman al-Itzlan, an illness, a very, very serious illness, he wouldn't just go to anyone who says doctor, and, you know, doctor says I haven't got cancer. That's it. Doctor said I don't have to go for treatment. He'll go for the best possible advice to find out who the greatest doctor is to heal him, and he'll find out what the real answer is. Not something to satisfy his conscience, to actually get the real answer. Shevet Levi were looking for a Heksha. Any crazy guy, we can make Zimri crazy. We can give him all the comfort he needs. We can pressurize him. We could adapt him. We could corrupt him. And he'll go along and say, Behechsha Zimri, it's okay for us. What happened to them? 24,000 people were killed because of that. This is a very, very worrisome thing. Today, religion has been, unfortunately, and I'm saying this very clearly, has been corrupted. What you call Judaism today has been corrupted by this Orthodox Judaism. There's Orthodox Judaism, and you also have another stream of Judaism called Reform Judaism, or Conservative Judaism, or Reformadox, or Conservadox, or Reformative, whatever it is. And they are the ones who, as long as a rabbi says it, where's the rabbi? He learns at theological college. Yet he is somebody who does not believe in Torah Mina Shemayim. He does not believe that Yud Gimel Midas, Yud Gimel Animamins. He does not believe Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest Navi. He does not believe that Torah is binding. He does not believe in Schavo Enosh. And he's a rabbi. And the rabbi said, you can now go to the coastal and you can do this and you can do that. And 1 second. If you're looking for Judaism, look at the people who know the best about Judaism. Look at people who actually are knowledgeable. I'm not even talking about whether that's your strain or not. Look at people who are actually the most knowledgeable. Find out from them, if the Torah says, if you don't know, and if they go to the people who you really believe the most knowledgeable, fine, you tucker have an answer. But until then, don't find somebody who has this power of a stemple of a rabbi and say everything is from there. This is what happened over here. Shevet Levi wanted to do something with the Heksha. And they went and they caused an epidemic. 24,000 people died because they did not look for the very best. Obviously, it does not mean you've got to go to the Gadol Hador every time you have a shayla of your spoons put into the chicken soup, right? There's certain times a person can heal himself by having an aspirin. You can go to you don't need the Gadol Hador for that. But when it comes to serious shaylas, where it actually can split clearly, you've got to go to the very greatest. Don't look for compromises. That was their mistake over here. That was a mistake that caused the death of 24,000 people. and it's a pachad. He has a very beautiful piece, and I'm not going to go to that now. And he says, if you want to look at it, it's something actually enormously amazing. But I'm not going to go. I'm just going to teach. Just going to say a couple of Rashi Prokim, just headers over here. If you want to look in the sefer, it's Rav Nevensal sefer on Sichas Sefer Bamidbar, and it is on page Reish Lamed Hey Sichas Chof Aleph. He talks about that today in the world there's two ways of thinking. There's an Ashkenazi and there's a Sephardi. And we follow the Ashkenazi Rabbonim, and he follows the Sephardi Rabbonim, and that. He said, where does this come from? Where does this come from? That we Ashkenazi follow Ashkenazi Rabbonim. Ashkenazi Rabbonim have taken, it's not Ashkenazi way of thinking and a Sephardi way of thinking. He said it's so ridiculous and narrow-minded, and it's almost apocryphal, he says. He says that Ashkenazi, when they paskin the Shaila, they've been through the Shulchan Aruch, they've been through the Rambam, they've been through the Rif, all Sephardim. When a Sephardi paskins, he's been through the Ramah, he's been through the Mishnah Melech, he's been through Ksois HaChoshen, he's been, all Ashkenazim. He said, no, that's an Ashkenazi Pesach. He said, that is Shimon saying, oh, that's a Levi Pesach. You have to understand that Yiddishkeit is so broad, it is so deep, it is so massive, it is so all-encompassing, it is so wide, that you have to take into account all the different shit of the Sheva Levi, has taken Sheva Levi, Shimon, Sheva Levi, everyone takes in everything. No, this is, we don't listen to Ashkenazi. He said, you've got to look through this piece, how ridiculous it is. How absolutely ridiculous it is. So therefore, to be Kitzer, how does Shevet Shimon do what they did? They did it because they wanted to have the rabbi giving their supervision on their form of znus. We can't do it without rabbi supervision, so we'll go and we'll get a rabbi who we can corrupt with a bit of kavod and a bit of taiva and a bit of gaiva, all brought down in midrashim, and we can take a man who's 250 years old and he can stand up and make this quasi, not reform, conversion, and he can try and stand up for us and say what we're doing is right. That causes 24,000 people to die. That is what caused Rachman Litzan a tragedy in Klal Yisrael, until somebody who was totally objective stood up, who called Pinchas, who only did it l'shem Shemayim. The Mefarshim asked, why did Moshe Rabbeinu do it? Moshe Rabbeinu was a Kanoi, why didn't he do it? Because it came along and he said to Moshe Rabbeinu, how did you take the daughter of Yisroi? That was really something personal. If he would then revolt, and if he would then kill Zimri, because based on that form of judgment, people will say, or perhaps it will be the minimum smallest of anuchius, of I've got an agenda over here. Kanos has got to be 100% Hashem Shemayim. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't do it anymore. Only Pinchas could do it, because it wasn't Hashem Shemayim anymore. Gedolim work Hashem Shemayim. It is done focusing on the Ashkenazi Pesach, on the Sephardi Pesach, on the Rishonim, on the Achronim, coming down to be objective with the Halacha. We don't look for way out, we don't look for the easy way, we look for the right way. This is Parshas Bolok, and Be'ez Hashem, next week we'll discuss this further with Parshas Pinchas. Asher Koyach.